Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and as always, I'm here with my good friend, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing?
You know, man, I think we're starting to become men of our word. This is not a month from our last podcast.
Yeah.
It's 2 weeks.
Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. Probably because it's a holiday and we both have off. There's nothing planned with it. There's nothing we have. There hasn't been something that has caught us off guard, or this seems like there's been two, three. This whole summer has been very, something came up where we didn't have anything come up today.
No.
It's great.
Amazingly enough.
Yeah. Maybe the fall will be a nice relaxing. No, it won't
no,
be.
No.
It won't be.
No.
I'm just going to jinx myself if I say that right now. But welcome to the latest edition of the Junk Baller Podcast. Last episode, we talked about, what did we talk about?
How much we hated our teams.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I kind of blocked it out of my mind because just been so frustrated with the Phillies, and especially with the Mets series. I mean, I did that podcast, and I was like, I don't believe in this team. I just don't believe it. And everyone's like, oh, no, they're a little better than what they were. And then same thing happens in New York. Mm-hmm. They don't do anything. And then the series against the Braves, obviously they took 3 of 4, but that offense only showed up in that Thursday game where they had 19 runs. That's it. Everything else was, I think they scored 3 runs, and that was on the walk-off 2-run homer. They had 1 run the other nights. It's a joke. Anyway, that was the last episode, and we're going to keep it short and simple with our Yankees and Phillies updates for everyone here, obviously because we're Phillies and Yankees fans, but I'll start with the Phillies. Obviously, the Phillies, they go up to New York, and they start off that game, the first game, and they went up, I think, 3-0, and I was like, all right, they have a chance. They might have been 4-0. They have a chance to really set, I think they could have gone up 8 games or 7 games if they had won one or the other. But they really had a chance to bury the Mets, completely bury them, put them out of their misery, and just end the season for the Mets. But same thing happened where they take a lead and then they give it up. And it seems like it's just ceremonial fashion for the Mets to just kill the Phillies up in Citi Field. It's just Bryce Harper hasn't had a home run in Citi Field in like 2 or 3 years. Like, that's sad for that. Like, the only player that showed up during that series was Harrison Bader, former Yankee legend. I don't believe in this team. I know we're the second best team in the National League and the third best in the Major League as we currently speak in terms of record, but there's just, you know, we signed Walker Buehler. That was the big thing that happened yesterday. It's not a huge risk. You signed to a minor league deal. He only has upside. If he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out. But there's nothing about this team that makes me think that they're different than every other team that has pitched, that has played the last 3 years. Same offense. We don't have Wheeler. And we think that we're going to be okay in this postseason. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. As depressing as that is to hear, I want them to do well. And I will always want them to do well. And I will be cheering them on after every pitch in the postseason. If they make it, gosh, if they fall and do a Mets thing like that, that'd be terrible. But I just can't do it. No matter what. Even if they got super hot in September and won like 25 games in the month of September, I still would be like, yeah, this team's going to be crap in the playoffs. Just don't see it. It's a shame. I do like the Walker Buehler sign. I do. I think that's a really... He struggled in Boston, but he has a lot of upside with a lot of his potential. So hopefully that 6-man rotation that they do can be a benefit, but still, it's the Eagles are coming, and as soon as the Phillies start struggling, the Eagles are just going to take over. I mean, they're already taking over. They're already taking. It's already Eagles. It's Eagles country in Philadelphia, but it's just, it's sad. It's really sad. And then, yeah, I won't go in any further, but yeah, so that's the Phillies update for you. How are the Yankees doing, Kevin?
Well, apart from an absolutely ugly series against Boston a week or two ago, it was horrendous to watch. They've been beating up on the nobody teams as they should be, and that's gotten them back not only into the wild card spot, which they're now back as the one seed, but now they're only three games back of Toronto. So they beat up on the Nationals. They beat up on the White Sox for the most part. They did lose yesterday. But now the hope is that they are able to carry that momentum into what's going to be the toughest stretch of their season. They're playing Houston tomorrow for three games in Houston. Then they're playing Toronto and Detroit and Boston. If they can at least break even in those games, like totally not get swept aside in those four series, they might be okay. I'm not worried about them missing the postseason or anything. I don't think that's... I'm worried about that because, heck, at the end of the year, they're playing Baltimore and the White Sox again and the Twins.
Heck. Yeah, heck.
Yeah.
And God, those teams suck.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's any guarantee in life, it's the Yankees being the Twins. So
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
And in other more positive news, it seems like Judge is breaking out of his funk a little bit. He had a .218 average in the month of August. He was coming back from an injury, but he wasn't playing all that great. It allowed Cal Raleigh to now like pretty much almost jump him in the MVP race.
Yeah.
But he did get into the top five or six echelon of Yankees home run leaders. So on Sunday, he tied Yogi Berra for fifth on the all-time list. And the crazy thing is that this list has not changed since 1957.
Mm.
So Dean, among the likes of Ruth, Mantle, Gehrig, and DiMaggio now, should put him over the top in terms of like the all-time greats, at least as a Yankee. But he needs to win.
Yeah.
He needs that ring to really cement that legacy among all those other guys. He hasn't performed in the postseason for the most part. Last year, he did get a couple of big hits, but mostly he's laid an egg.
Mm-hmm.
Make it this year. Make shine this year. This is your chance, man.
Shine bright, yeah. Aaron Judge. Shine bright.
What else is going on? Oh, yeah, Johnny Lasagna is out for the
year. Oh, yeah, Johnny Lasagna. Yeah. It's really a shame. What a great name. It's not actually Johnny Lasagna, everyone.
It's
for people that are
ago.
It's yeah. For everyone that doesn't know the joke and the Twitter handle. But yeah, it really is a shame that with some of the injuries that have happened with the Yankees, and I know that I'm not to hate on the Yankees is super easy just because they're the Yankees, but they've had a lot of potential and a lot of good players that are not easily hateable, in my opinion. There's some that are, but mm-hmm. Yeah, Johnny Lasagna was easy to like, yeah. And you kind of wanted him to, you kind of rooting for him. But
and how about Stanton absolutely tearing it up?
Yep, it's great.
He's really come back with a vengeance in August. I really hope that Judge comes back to the field soon so he doesn't have to play the field. But no, it's definitely been a boost to this offense too. So not everything bad, but I'm not a firm believer in this team until I see what they do against the four big boys coming up.
Yeah. All right, quick question. Here's a little I am trying to compare Shohei Ohtani and Kyle Schwarber's stats on Baseball Reference. I can't find the compare thing on the website.
No?
I can't do it. We're having some technical difficulties here. I can't do it. Where is it?
Maybe you could just Google the comparison thing.
I tried. I can do it on my phone, but I don't want to do it on my phone.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, because I was going to lead into the MVP races with Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge, because you mentioned Aaron Judge kind of breaking out of a slump and Cal Raleigh kind of maybe having a little bit of a slump right now. I don't know. He's been stuck on 50 for, I think, a week and a half now. But, yeah. Do you think that Cal Raleigh has taken over the MVP if it's the season ended today, who do you think is getting the MVP? Obviously, both teams are making the playoffs. So there's that. You can't argue that one team didn't make the playoffs, one team did. But Cal Raleigh's got the 50 homers. He's playing catcher. He's not the Yankees. Judge has been given the MVP before a couple times. So it's almost like, I think I heard you one time say that Cal Raleigh's going to get it just because they don't want to give it to Judge again. But Raleigh is playing a premium position with it.
Well,
take your Yankee bias out of it.
No, let me hear what I have to say first.
Okay.
There's a pretty good chance he does on the virtue of his numbers as a catcher.
Okay.
I think he set the record for catchers, didn't he?
Yeah.
He has a home runs a mm-hmm. year.
Yeah, he beat Salvi.
So that gives him a big boost right there, doing something historic.
Yep.
The main thing, though, is that Judge really beats him out in almost every other offensive category.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a higher WAR. He has more hits, even though he was out with injury. He's got a higher batting average. Cal Raleigh's 240 and Judge is 324.
Yeah.
Their OPS is 932, which is great for Raleigh. But Judge still has a 1.1 OPS.
Yeah.
So it's a tough call for me. If Judge were healthy the entire time, I think Judge would be more of a runaway candidate, but mm-hmm. Cal Raleigh is just having such an impressive year as a catcher that he very well could get it, I think.
Yeah.
And in Seattle, which is, they're definitely having a better offensive year than in years past, but I feel like they haven't been super well known in recent times for being an offensive team.
No, that stadium is terrible for offense.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very, very bad offense. I think it's one of the worst offensive stadiums in baseball.
Yeah.
I believe.
So he's doing 50 home runs in that type of environment.
Yeah, exactly. So there is that. I know the WAR, he's playing a premium position. So that adds to, but he also has been playing DH some too with it. I don't know. I probably think that they're going to, if the season ended today, I think they're probably going to give it to Raleigh. I don't think that just because he has a little bit better stats, the talk has been Raleigh with it. You know, if you take Cal Raleigh out of Seattle, is that team still a playoff team? And same thing with Judge. Is you take Judge, I don't think the Yankees are a playoff team if they take Judge out.
No.
But I also don't think that if you take Cal Raleigh out, I don't think Seattle's a playoff team either. Hmm. I just don't think they have enough talent. Because Julio Rodriguez he's not lived up to the hype of J-Rod, in my opinion. He's a good player, but he hasn't been, oh my gosh, this guy is incredible, a credible player. But that's just my opinion. All right, let's move on to Kyle Schwarber versus Shohei Ohtani, because Pete Crow Armstrong took himself out of the playoff MVP race this month of August when he had the lowest OPS as a qualified hitter at 432. Everyone's like, oh, PCA is going to win it. Oh, he's killing it. He's so good. And then he has one of the worst months of a baseball player in a long time. So if you look at it, Ohtani's probably going to win it. Not only because he is MLB's favorite boy and all that, but Kyle Schwarber's only playing DH, pretty much. He's only playing the DH, where Ohtani's pitching and hitting. Now, Ohtani did have a really bad outing, his previous outing. But he is leading in a lot of the categories over Schwarber. He's leading in WAR. He's leading in hits. He's not leading in home runs or RBIs. He's only leading by 7 in stolen bases. Schwarber's got 10 stolen bases. So it's not like he's killing him in that. But every other category, on-base percentage, he's leading. Slugging, he's leading. OPS, he's leading. OPS plus and OPS, he's leading. They're both an all-star this year. One thing Schwarber does have this year over Ohtani is the hard hit percentage. Then that was kind of talked about today, actually, on Twitter and the Phillies broadcast. Kyle Schwarber has the highest hard hit percentage of any Major League Baseball player this year. And he's third in the last like 6 years or something like that overall. So he has that, but they're going to give it to Ohtani. I don't see any, unless Schwarber goes and hits, it has 60, 65 home runs in total in the month to finish it out. I just don't see it. and like Ohtani just is like, he's okay. That's the only way I see it. If Schwarber gets 60 or like 65 home runs, then I could see like a bigger, tighter race. But it's a shame. Ohtani being the two-way pitcher, he's going to win MVP as long as he does his job every year. That's just how it is. Unless someone has to have like a triple crown year. That's the only way it happens. Because he's going to accumulate more WAR than anyone because he pitches. It's just how it is. It's a little bit annoying, but at the same time, like, you got to give it to him. He's fantastic. Yeah. Even if he does possibly bet on baseball games. Who knows?
Well, does environment also play in this too? Because Schwarber plays in a hitter's park.
Oh, yeah.
And Ohtani is in a pitcher's park, and Ohtani has 45 home runs.
Yeah.
Playing as a Dodger.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. It's not like Schwarber's home runs are just getting out, though. I mean, yeah. Have you seen some?
I've seen them.
Most of his home runs are freaking missiles to the hitting off the second deck. Oh, my gosh. Like, speaking of that game, you know, he had four home runs against Atlanta, and it's the third time this happened this year, which is the first time it's ever happened three times in a year. And I think, I'm not sure if it's ever happened twice in a year, but it's the first time ever that it's happened three times, which was Eugenio Suarez, Schwarber, and Nick Kurtz of Oakland, who almost hit five. You think he was feet away from hitting his fifth home run.
Yeah.
But he's in Oakland. Sacramento, eh? I got to get that right. But yeah, one thing I want to talk about before we move on is actually two things before we move on. With MVP races and Ohtani, I kind of made the joke that, you know, he could be betting on games and stuff like that. We don't know the full investigation. It just seems it's murky. All right. Because they ended that investigation very quickly. Whereas the investigation with Class A and Luis Ortiz for the Cleveland Guardians has been taking almost 2 months now. It seems like, I think it's been almost 2 months. And then they've extended the period till further investigation is completed. So their season is pretty much done, and their careers could be done too. But the fact that it's taking this long is kind of a joke. They took care of Ohtani because Ohtani is their boy. Like, if Ohtani was caught cheating, then MLB would have been, his PR would have been an absolute nightmare for years to come. So they had to take care of that quick and figure that thing out fast. But to think about it in just a human perspective, these two guys, if they were doing it, like, yeah, they should be punished. But to have them just be like, yeah, we got to figure it out and just have it for months on months on months while the games are being sponsored by FanDuel, DraftKings, all this stuff, it's kind of really dumb. And we've talked about it before that we both want to ban sports betting because we think it's bad for baseball. It's really dumb how two players can, and there's probably more players betting in baseball, we don't know about it, but that's the danger of it, is you open up the floodgates for these players and coaches and management to bet on games because it's legal. But in baseball, it's not as a player. But the fact that this investigation is going on and it hasn't been concluded in the time frame that it has, it's kind of pathetic by MLB, and if the FBI is involved as well with it.
Well, at least for the Guardians, it doesn't seem to have affected their bullpen super badly. They're fourth in the league in ERA. So even without Class A, they're holding their own right now.
Yeah, and he was supposed to be traded. Yeah. Like, him and Kwan were probably going to be traded. If Class A was traded, I think they probably would have traded Kwan in a deal or something like that. But it hasn't. It just gets me going with this stupid sports betting, and it's just very, very dumb. And you know, the NBA has had players do it. We mentioned it last podcast. There's just so many. We're gonna see more and more of it. We're gonna see more because they're like, all right, well, if as long as I don't get caught, I can help out my buddy who's gonna do with Luis Ortiz and Class A. A lot of their investigation is based off of a prop bet that this guy's going to, I think it's a prop bet that this guy's going to throw a ball first pitch with it. And none of these pitches are close. So they're like, all right, it's easy money to put down like 50, you know, or $1,000 or something like that. So that way you get like 5,000. So yeah. But that's the thing. It's a stupid thing. Like, why? This is what happens when you allow stupid things in this world. It's like, you know what? Let's earn a ton of money by betting money and have everyone go into poverty and get addicted to gambling with it. It's the same thing with fantasy football. Fantasy football is ruined football for me.
Baseball, stay on target.
No, but this is kind of how, like, all these stupid things in baseball, in sports that have kind of ruined the aspect of the game. It's more, it's not about the actual game anymore. It's about, oh, let's put a bet. Oh, let's go, you know, hang out and stuff like that. It's let's focus on the game. I don't know. It's just dumb. I'm tired of it.
He's a tired person.
I am tired.
He took an hour nap yeah. right before this.
I'm really tired.
That might explain.
I don't take
the mood of the.
I don't take naps very often. I don't, because with naps, I don't seem to actually feel rested when I wake up from them, and I can attest to this one right now. I am not rested. Like, who knows? It could go to bed after this podcast when we finish at like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Who knows? Especially if the Phillies suck. They're losing 1-0 right
Three
now.
Nothing.
3-0. Oh, jeez.
He even did the whole, oh, my microphone for my ear for the signals isn't working thing, which has become like the, I guess, the modern day delay tactic.
Oh, no. Man, the poor guy. That's okay. I kind of been, I gained respect for Tom Walker this year. The dude hasn't complained one bit about any of his role. And he's actually done a decent job.
They added Garrett Stubbs to the roster today.
Yeah, just for the vibes. Yeah. Just for the vibes. Again, team's no different. Team is no different. You tell me this team's different. The only thing that's different is Zach Wheeler's not on the roster. And he's the best postseason pitcher in history. It's just... All right. One last thing before we move on to a fun fact. There was a little bit of talk about... all right, let's face it, people. If you know, if you're inside MLB talk and all that, you know that the collective bargaining agreement for baseball ends after next season. Is it the collective bargaining agreement? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. When that ends, there is a very, very high chance that there will not be baseball in 20. Oh my gosh. All right. No, let's forget about it. Let's focus on the podcast. Yeah. There is a very good chance that there will not be baseball in 2027 because the players' union and the owners and everyone involved are so far apart on money. And there's so many different topics that need to. My dad just texted me, this game is over. Okay, so the reason why I'm bringing this up with the collective bargaining agreement is that's also going to be a time where MLB tries to expand because Manfred is out in 2029, I believe. So I think that's when his contract's over, and they're going to have a new commissioner. But his goal is to make all the owners happy and to make more money for baseball, more. And that's where they're trying to expand and add two teams to Major League Baseball. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but it starts with the collective bargaining agreement because these players have to agree to certain terms, the owners have to agree to certain terms, and they're so far apart right now. And then they're probably going to try to sneak in two expansion teams to start. So that way, before Manfred's done, he at least says, hey, I added two teams to baseball. And there you go. There's more money. Now, before I let you speak, the reason why I bring this up is because there was a lot of talk in baseball about the expansion teams. There was a lot of talk because of how the MLB realignment would happen if they had expansion teams. Kevin, what was the division that was considered the AL Northeast? What was that division? What were the four teams in that division?
The AL Northeast. Wait, the AL Northeast or just the Eastern Conference? Eastern Division?
I heard it as the AL Northeast. That's what I heard.
Well, I think it was the Yankees, Mets, Phillies, and Red Sox.
Talk about the absolute nightmare division if you're in that division. Every team there is over the luxury tax with it. They're going to be spending money. Whereas you go to the Mid-Atlantic, where you have Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Washington, and Baltimore. Four teams, actually, probably 3.5 teams that don't want to spend any money and just trade away everyone. When I saw that realignment, I'm like, okay, you have the Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, and Phillies. Four teams that have big markets and will get all... I don't think that they thought this through. Like, this isn't, like, official. This was just a projected... like realignment into what would probably, with two expansion teams, would be four teams in each division and four divisions. That would be a nightmare if for us. One, because then we become rivals, which I don't want. And then two, that's where all the money is, except in the out west with the Dodgers, Padres, Angels, and Diamondbacks. But even then, this terrible division.
That's a very top-heavy division.
Yeah. like... This is how the divisions would be. The Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Phillies. That's easily the best division. It's not even close with the next couple divisions.
Agree.
Probably the next best division, maybe Atlanta, Miami, Tampa Bay, and the expansion team, because it has Atlanta and Tampa Bay.
That's still
terrible.
Because the Braves and Rays are not good. Right?
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of teams that are consistently good with it, but like Miami's never good, but Tampa Bay and Atlanta have at least been good for a long time, the last 10-15 years, except for maybe a couple years with Tampa. But then you have this division of the Twins, Detroit, Milwaukee, and Toronto. Twins are a poverty franchise. Detroit's just getting up there. Milwaukee's been average to good for the last 10 years, it seems like, but they're number one right now. But Toronto's a good team. But, like, even then, God, they're just looking at the other divisions with it. Like, the Cubs, White Sox, Cardinals, and Reds, I just don't see that. That, I don't know. Just, I don't like this. I don't like it. I know it's change, but this projected division change, I just wouldn't like it. Especially mixing up the AL and NL with it, because they want to do it by geographical location to save players' bodies from the travel and all that. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
This is where the traditional old man side of me comes out when I look at this thing.
Yeah.
Because I like the idea of having an American and National League. There's a lot of history there, a lot of tradition, a lot of good rivalries.
Yeah.
This realignment would destroy all of that.
Yep.
Maybe not destroy all of it, though definitely throw a lot of things into chaos, especially with the East.
Oh,
like,
God.
What's going on in the East? I mean, now you're going to have the Yankees and the Mets in the same division.
Yeah.
Playing each other all the time.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Yankees and Phillies, too. I feel like that kind of ruins it. We're not the NBA. We don't need to have an Eastern and Western Conference in baseball, which was another proposal I saw out there, too. It's like, oh, you know, we'll split between East and West. We don't need that.
We need more rivalry. There needs to be more of that. Oh my gosh. So I need to stop looking at the TV.
Yeah. and I don't know about where, like, the expansion of 32 teams, where exactly you could place them. I know there's talk about Charlotte and Nashville,
Portland,
Salt Lake City, I've heard as well. So that's definitely going to affect the realignment too. Like, what if they just do one and one, like put one in Charlotte and one in Salt Lake City, or maybe they just decide to do both in the East. What are you going to do with the Western divisions, as it were?
Yeah. Yeah. Just go back to Montreal. Put a team back in Montreal.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't even help the case, but still.
Yeah.
Like, Portland is the only really West Coast, and maybe Salt Lake, but I don't know. I think it's because we have the boomer takes of it right now, where we're traditionalists and we don't want the change. We want more rivalry because that creates better TV. That's why the NFL is good, because they're able to do rivalry pretty well with it.
And there's also such a big culture difference between East and West, I feel.
Yeah.
I kind of mentioned this when, like, Howie texted us the one proposal from John Boy, I think, about how the divisions would be realigned.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It was pretty much, he aligned it along the Mississippi River, which is the traditional split up of America, I feel like, between East and West.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, when you go past the Mississippi from there to almost California, there's almost nothing there. But meanwhile, in the East, you have a ton of teams, and there's a big rivalry between East and West.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I know that Manfred wants to get it done before he's done as commissioner, which is, I believe, 2029, as far as I'm concerned.
They did something similar in 93 as well, right before the strike. They added the Rockies and the Marlins right before 94, the strike then, too.
Yeah. I'm okay with expansion. I'm okay with that. Like, I am a little bit worried that the talent would be that gives more chance to players who are more average to below average to be on rosters. But, you know, it also gives more chance for other teams to be bigger markets for spending more money with it. But at the same time, like, there's going to be less talent. Oh, it's going to be more spread out, so the games aren't as good. It's not as competitive. It's not going to be a drastic change, but there'll be a change. Yeah. So there is that one caveat. But, So let's move on. That's kind of our end of our beginning of it. We kind of spent more time on it than I wanted to, but that's the thing about a podcast. You start talking and things just go out of control.
You start talking and I kind of just make a comment here and there.
That's true. I know. I talk too much. I should just go back and take a nap. Okay. I have a fun fact for you.
Yeah?
So fun fact time. Dun, dun, dun.
F is for friends.
Do stuff together. U is for you and me.
Okay, let's. what's the fun fact?
Shout out to our SpongeBob fans. Okay, fun fact. You saw Kyle Schwarber hit 4 home runs, right?
I did.
And I said that there was. This is the first time that's ever happened where there's been three 4 home run games in Major League Baseball.
Indeed.
It is only the 21st 4 home run game in Major League history.
Very rare.
Which is more rare than a perfect game.
It is.
There's only 24 perfect games in Major League Baseball. And it kind of got me thinking why we value a perfect game so much more than seeing like a traditional cycle, immaculate inning, stuff like that. Like we obviously this because it's like it's complete game with the perfect game, but seeing Kyle Schwarber's 4 home run game, like you witnessed. Like, I feel like we wouldn't talk about that as much as if we saw a perfect game. Like, if you saw a perfect game, I feel like you would talk about that more than if you saw Aaron Judge hit 4 home runs. Like, if Gerrit Cole pitched a perfect game, you would talk more about that than you would about Aaron Judge's 4 home run game. You think so?
Maybe. I didn't talk about much about Domingo Armand's perfect game, though. But maybe if it was Gerrit Cole, it'd be different.
Were you at that game?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. No, I'm... Yeah, Domingo, yeah, that's different because he's, and we don't need to talk about that. I don't know. Obviously, it just gets me thinking about the rarity of some things, like immaculate inning. I don't know the rarity of it, but we don't see it ever. But we really, if it happens, oh, you get immaculate inning, nice. I think it's because with the perfect game, it's one guy doing it over 9 innings.
Yeah.
27 batters, 27 outs.
Yeah.
With Kyle Schwarber hitting 4 home runs, He had 6 opportunities to do that, which it's less opportunities, but also it's just interesting how the dynamic is, because I would view a perfect game as cooler to see than seeing a 4 home run game than Kyle Schwarber. Like, if you were to vote, would you rather see a perfect game or would you see a 4 home run game? Hmm. I think it would be more perfect game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it goes to your point about it's really a mark of endurance, and he's playing the vast majority of that game. When you're coming out to the plate, you're a bat maybe will last a minute or two.
Yeah.
You're going to be out there for hours, perhaps, pitching a perfect game. So you're sweating out. Everybody's watching you. When you're sitting in the dugout, no one's talking to you. They're kind of like you're all the way on the other side by yourself to get composure. It's a big mental aspect as well.
Yeah.
And heck, if you're when it's a 4 home run game, the win is not ultimately up to you generally.
Yeah.
In a perfect game, like maybe you're up 12-0, then maybe you're only up like 1-0 or 2-0. So if you blow that perfect game on a home run or something, that brings the other team way back into it and changes completely the dynamic of it.
Yeah.
I feel like home run games is usually something you see with blowouts. In perfect games, it's kind of like the intensity's not always the case.
Yeah, the intensity's there. Like, obviously, with Schwarber, he had a chance to hit 5 home runs, which would have, no one's ever done that. And it would have been tainted a little bit because he would have hit it off a position pitch, position player if he did. But at the same time, you're like, all right, no one else has done 5 home runs in a game.
Yeah. And I think it's doubly impressive now because, heck, when we watch a complete game, it's almost treated like a no-hitter.
Yeah.
It's like, who goes 9 innings anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. Only a couple of Phillies pitchers. That's it. But yeah, it's just hitting a 4 home run game, what Kyle Schwarber just did, it's more rare than seeing a perfect game.
Yeah.
But it's not talked about as much. No. So I thought that was kind of fun that it's more rare, but we don't talk about it that much. It's not as cool as a perfect game. I don't know, maybe because I'm biased.
No,
pitcher.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I might put that on a poll. I might do that. I haven't done a poll on Instagram in a little bit. Try to get more engagement. But yeah. All right. That's our fun fact for the day for the podcast. And now we are going to move on to our junk ball section.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, we don't. We have
I try to have a theme for it, and it didn't work.
We have a soundboard.
Yeah.
But we haven't really, we've done a little bit of tinkering with the sounds, but we haven't set it up to key in on things with it, because it's not like necessarily like it's not a great soundboard with it. But anyway.
We did get it for free, so you kind of take what you can get.
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't think there's a way with the soundboard to like add sound effects to it. Yeah. Like maybe in GarageBand, you have like a little bit of a soundboard on here, but I have no idea how to use it. And when I'm talking to you, I'm kind of like multitasking, so it's a little hard.
Yeah, shout out to Nolan, my brother's friend, for giving us basically a lot of podcast equipment for free. It was a blessing, so thank you, Nolan. We are in the final month of the baseball season, and this is our third season that we've covered, and both of our teams, again, are in the playoff push, postseason push, as we are calling it, the postseason push.
Postseason tush push.
No, not the tush push. Again, baseball podcast, not football. Focus. Now, Kev's going to cover the AL. I'm going to cover the NL. I don't know. Maybe it's me. It doesn't seem as exciting as it used to be. And there's not like some, there's no, like the races aren't as exciting anymore. I don't know what it is. Something's off.
Well, we're just getting into September, so maybe it'll heat up there, because at least in the American League, especially in the East, it is heating up.
Yeah. And the weather's not heating up, though. Praise the Lord. Amen for that.
It's a little cool.
Yeah, so why don't you cover the AL? But one, two questions that I want you to answer as you cover the AL. Which teams do you think are the biggest threats to in the next month to really make a push or really make a statement and be like, oh, yeah, crap, I don't want to face that team in the playoffs? And then which teams do you think will be a surprise team? And also, who's going to play spoiler? Which team do you think, ah, oh, crap, I don't really want to play, you know, everyone kind of wants to play the Rockies, but, you know, which team going to play spoiler over the net in the American League? And I'll do that for the NL. So you want to take it away with the AL?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I think it's interesting you ask the question of who are you scared of?
Yeah.
I mean, from the Yankees fan perspective, the only reason why I would be scared of Toronto or Boston is because they've beaten the crap out of them almost every time. But as teams themselves, like on a team level, I'm not particularly afraid of them.
Yeah. I don't need this to be like from a Yankee perspective. Yeah. I can just be like as the American League, like which team do you think is you know, the biggest threat to make it, but it doesn't have to be from a Yankee perspective, just more from a the American League perspective.
Well, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling about Houston.
I
know.
They're not the same team.
I know they're not the same team, but they are winning their division right now, not by a whole lot, by 2 games.
Yeah.
And they did lose to Detroit last year, which was great in the postseason. But I just feel like they're kind of like that plucky team that kind of just like
plucky.
Yeah. They're kind of that, I mean, they're kind of the team that just, they're there and they annoy you and they're irritating.
Well, that's true.
Like in a way, because they find ways to win games.
Yeah.
Those are the most annoying teams. It's just like watching the Chiefs in football. I know we're bringing football into it. It's like, why do people not like the Chiefs? Because they just win games somehow. And I feel like that's the way with Houston. They just find ways to win, and those are the teams that are going to last, especially in the postseason.
How many times can we bring up football in a baseball podcast?
Yeah, we should have a NFL counter afterwards. But I think Houston would probably be the team I would be most worried about, just because of who they are.
Yeah, they definitely have been the most proven team over the last, since 2017. Obviously, that year is tainted with it, but that was when they kind of established themselves as a dangerous team. Because they still have, they traded back for Correa, they still have Altuve,
yes.
Alvarez is still there, Framber's still there, they just got Garcia back, Hunter Brown's been fantastic this year. So, yeah, and Peña's been good too for Houston. So they are a team, I agree, that can definitely scare you, but they're not, they just don't have as much, and Hader's out with a shoulder injury. Yeah. So I understand. It's only because I think of the PTSD that they've caused you over the years as a Yankees fan.
Well, I think it's, without the Phillies fan perspective too, it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
But they just find ways to win games. It's not just the Yankees that they do that with. They've done that against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And against the Nationals, which was a hard series, which they lost, but they found ways to win there.
Yeah.
Against the Phillies, against all these other teams. So.
Yeah. They're just not the powerhouse.
No, that I agree with.
Yeah. And their practice kind of similar to last year where, they're probably going to win the division. I don't know. The Mariners could win the division, but I really don't think the Mariners are that strong of a team, in my opinion. Their pitching's been off and on this year, but
definitely a more improved offense.
Yeah.
But they're still only 21st in batting average.
Yeah.
It's not like they're like a super, hard hitting team, and they're 17th in earned run average, which is not Seattle like, because we were expecting Seattle to have a really good rotation this year, and it just hasn't happened.
I think we'll probably be saying this about the Tigers next year as them being the biggest threat if they do the same thing again next year. Because then they'll be like, all right, they've done it a couple years in a row. They're hot. They've got a lot of talent.
I need to see more from them.
Exactly. I was just about to say, I feel like the Tigers, while they have the best record in the American League, they need to see a little bit more from them. Yeah. There's not like, they don't have an Aaron Judge. They don't have Vlad Guerrero Jr. They don't have a Yordan Alvarez. Like Riley Green is their best player, in my opinion, probably. And he doesn't really strike fear. Like, no one in that lineup strikes fear into you.
I mean, who leads in home runs? Is it Torkelson?
Probably.
With, like, almost 30 home runs?
Yeah. And he's a good player. He had a bounce back year with it. It's great to see. I think Detroit's a fun team to root for because they're kind of a lot of underdogs. Like, there's not someone to hate on that, because Scooble's really likable because he's a competitive guy, but he's got a friendly personality to it. But it's kind of like, it's Scooble, and then it's just a bunch of like good players with it. Yeah. It's not a bunch of superstars with it. So I agree with you with Houston probably, even though they aren't. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if I agree with you. I don't know. But you're doing the AL. I'll let you continue.
Yeah. Well, what I really want to focus on too is the East, because Toronto is leading that by only a couple games, and the Yankees and the Red Sox are right behind them.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to talk more about the Central, but there's not much to talk about there, really.
Yeah.
Cleveland made a little bit of a push, so now they're back to just being mediocre. Mm-hmm. Kansas City is 9 games back. I think Detroit's going to run away with it at this point.
They have the biggest division lead, I believe, out of any team.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Houston's 2 games over Seattle, and as of September 1st, Toronto's 2.5 games over the Yankees and over the Red Sox.
Yeah.
The scheduling is going to be the most important thing here for this division race, because as I mentioned earlier with the Yankees, they have a very easy end to the year. With Toronto, it's not as easy. They got Boston, they have they're playing Houston as well. Mm-hmm. They're playing the Rays, which I know the Rays aren't a good team, but they usually give the AL East teams a good deal of trouble when they play them. They're playing Kansas City, and if Kansas City somehow miraculously makes a push, they could be tough to beat.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come down to the scheduling, I think. As for the Red Sox, they got – who do we got here? They got Toronto. They got the A's. They got Detroit to end the year. So they got a tough schedule.
Yeah.
I got to see how these teams have been doing lately. But I think – and I can't believe I'm saying this. The Yankees have a realistic shot of winning the division.
Mm.
Considering how the years are ending.
Yeah.
But as to the team I would be most afraid of out of that division, Toronto. Mm. I mean, really. They're off the offense of Toronto anyway. Their rotation stinks.
Yeah.
But like they're first in batting average. And you're getting nice bounce back years from guys like Guerrero and Bichette,
mm-hmm.
who I would be worried about.
Yeah.
And they got Yankees legend IKF.
Right. IKF signed. So. Yeah, off waivers from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But I think it's going to be a very interesting end to the year, at least in the American League. I know it's not as high profile because I can't say there's really a team that stands out as like a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess among the good teams that we do have, we are going to have a good race.
Yeah.
For divisions and for the wild card too.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. So who's a surprise team for you?
Like what do you mean by that?
Like a surprise team that might get hot and surprise you. Like say are the Royals like, Guardians aren't in it, but the Royals and Rangers have been hot.
Yeah.
They've won, I believe,
five straight.
And they've also, I think it's like nine of their last 11 or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're only 2.5 back of Seattle of the last wild card spot. You know, could you see a team that is out of the playoffs right now overtaking a team? Like a surprise team that gets hot and then goes into the playoffs.
It would probably be what you said, Texas, just because of how well they've been playing as of late.
Even without Corey Seager, because he's out for the year, and Eovaldi's out for the year?
They still have a great pitching staff without them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got an easy schedule to end the year, too. They got Miami, the Twins, and the Guardians.
Yeah.
So
you could easily win 7 games there.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. All right, yeah. All right, who's playing spoiler? Which team in the American League is playing spoiler? I have my choice if I were to pick.
Boston.
You got to pick a team that's not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It's a team, you know, like.
I'm tired of myself.
Yeah.
maybe Minnesota.
You think the Twins?
Maybe.
They have Joe Ryan and Buxton, and that's it. Unless you count Phillies legend Cody Clemens.
They're playing playoff teams to end the year.
That's true. I was thinking the Athletics. Yeah. I thought the Athletics, just because they got nothing to prove. They got a lot of young talent. They could play spoiler with it. Yeah.
Potentially. Well, they are playing Boston and Houston at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Kansas City, so, yeah, they could be spoiler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So if you were to predict the division and wild card winners, who would they be?
I think it's going to be, as you see it right now, Toronto, Detroit, and Houston to win their divisions.
Okay.
And I think the wild card, too.
I think
as is right now.
Dang. I think. Boo, you're boring. You're boring.
But it's not an exciting.
You don't think Texas is going to get hot? Texas is hot. You don't think that they could overtake Seattle? Especially, do Seattle and Texas play each other?
Seattle and Texas?
Yeah.
Let's check their schedule. At the end of the year, they might.
They have to. Come on. They.
They do not.
What?
No.
They already played each other all the time?
Yeah.
Wow. There's no head-to-head.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle does play Houston. They do play the Dodgers to end out the season.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers could have already booked up that division and everything.
Well, I think it's a very boring prediction for a boring league. The AL is boring.
Yeah, the NL is better this
year.
It's
very vanilla, and the National League is more fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's a good transition for me to go into the National League. Team that I view as the biggest threat, I probably would say the Dodgers, and I'm not saying that just because...
boring.
I know, it's pretty boring. Even, but the thing is, they're not the best team. They don't have the best record. Like, they're the third best team. Like, it's only because they have the most talent and they haven't put it together. That hasn't been the Dodgers' year, but say if they do get it together, they have absolutely have the best team on paper. Do I think that they will actually be a threat? No. But I could see them being the biggest threat this season, this stretch run. Because you have Otani, you have Freddie Freeman, you have Mookie, who's now playing, I believe, right field, back in right field again. You have Will Smith, Max Muncy. Teoscar Hernandez is taking a couple days off because he's been slumping. But you're getting pitchers back that are healthy. They have so much depth. They've had so many injuries, and they still have so much depth. It's kind of annoying with it, but... I view them as the biggest threat, but I'm not afraid to face them, if that makes sense. There's no one that I'm like if you were any team in the postseason, you're like, I really don't want to play them. Like, Milwaukee doesn't pose a threat to me. Like, they have a good team. They're the best record in baseball, but they don't strike fear into me. Cubs don't strike fear. Padres don't strike fear. The only thing with the Mets is they have the Phillies number at home. That's the only thing, but every other team going up against each other don't really strike a fear into my eyes with it. You know, Padres have been, I don't know what the Padres are. I can never figure them out.
No.
I mean, Xander Bogaerts is out for the year pretty much, but he hasn't been living up to that contract in San Diego. The Cubs, Kyle Tucker's been hot the last 10 games after having that broken finger or potential broken finger. But the Cubs pitching staff is what is going to have to get them to the postseason with Imanaga, Boyd, and a couple other guys. Like, they're going to have to really pitch well for that, because that offense is a decent offense. Even though at the beginning of the year I said that they were a terrible offense, they've been okay offense, even though Suzuki, I believe, is struggling. Yeah, so the Dodgers, I think that's the vanilla answer, obviously, with the Dodgers being the biggest threat, but they just have the most talent. That's where I could view them. It's not like a team that is hot right now is getting hot and becoming a big threat. There's no team in major. the six teams that are in the playoffs right now, this is their last 10 games. Brewers, 5-5. Phillies, 5-5. Dodgers, 6-4. Cubs, 5-5. Padres, 5-5. Mets, 6-4. No one's hot. No one's hot. So... the hottest team in the National League is the Pittsburgh Pirates and the San Francisco Giants. It's 7-3 in their last 10. So, yeah, I don't really view the Dodgers as a huge threat, but they could be the biggest threat in the National League postseason push. Which team do you think could be a surprise team? I think so. This team just had a team meeting to get things straight. And normally that doesn't go well towards the end of the season. Like, all right, we got to get team meeting. We've been struggling. We need to get this thing. We need to get the ship right. But they also do have what I think is probably the most experienced manager other than Bruce Bochy for postseason baseball. And that's Terry Francona and Cincinnati Reds. They are four out of the last wild card spot. That's a lot of ground to make up in a month. Four games. That's a lot of ground. It's not impossible, but it's definitely possible. They've won their last two. The Mets can always Met. And that's the team that they'd have to catch up to right now. They're four games back. I could definitely see Cincinnati Reds getting hot and being a surprise team to make that sixth spot. They have a talent. They have coaching staff. That pitching staff is nuts with Abbott, Hunter Green coming back. They have some good pitching. Ellie De La Cruz, fantastic player. Kind of like that scrappy team that could get in, kind of like the Detroit of last year, could get in, could do some damage, but they're four games out. They have to do pretty well over the next month. Let's actually see their schedule. They got Toronto. Oh, they got the Mets. Oh, they got the Mets coming up.
Well, the Reds have a lot of division play at the end of their year.
Yeah.
Because they got the Cubs, they got the Pirates, and the Milwaukee to end their year.
Yeah.
And they're playing the Padres currently while in this series.
Yeah. So they have the Blue Jays for three, the Mets for three, and the Padres for three. Then they have the A's and Cardinals before they have all their division games left. So they go up against three playoff teams right in a row to really kind of, you know, they could make a statement or they could falter. So this week is probably make or break for Cincinnati. If they go, let's see, that's one, two, three, six, nine games. They go 6-3 or 5-4, maybe, but they can't be below 500. If they end up below 500 after this week, they're probably done. But if they get hot this week and take care of business against the Blue Jays, Mets, and Padres, I could see the Reds possibly being a surprise team coming down the postseason push. Now, which team do I think will play spoiler? That is a good question. That is a really, really good question.
Colorado.
No. Every team wants to face Colorado. Colorado is absolutely awful. Like, you don't... If you were... If you were the Yankees, wouldn't you be like, all right, yeah, let's go get our offense right in the
Well, the Rockies were pretty close to winning the season, the series against them earlier this year.
Yeah.
Which would have been interesting.
Yeah. I see the Braves as being spoilers. They're the best team with the bad record in the National League, in my opinion. I know they don't have Raleigh. Riley.
Yeah.
Their pitching staff has been decimated all year with it. But they still have Acuna, Olsen, Murphy, Albies, all that talent in that lineup. And Sale's back now. Strider hasn't been Strider this year. But who's the guy that we watched? Waldrip last night?
Yeah.
That dude's awesome. Like, they got 1-2-3 in that. You don't want to face Sale, Strider, Waldrip 1-2-3 if you're in a series. I could definitely see the Braves being spoilers this September. They face Chicago, they face Seattle. They just lost 3 of 4 to the Phillies, but they could have won 3 of 4 against us easily. The only game that they really sucked at was the 19-4 game, whatever it was, where Schwarber had the four home runs. But they play. Okay, they play Detroit, Houston, Cubs, Seattle, and Cubs again. So they really could play spoiler against the Cubs. You know, say if they take 4 of 4-6 against the Cubs, and the Cubs start struggling, and the Reds take. This is a big week in for National League with Cincinnati at that division in the Central. So we could see that happening. So I think the Braves could definitely play spoiler, with that. And to finish up, if I were to predict what the divisions look like at the end of the regular season based off of where they are now, I think Milwaukee has that division in the Central locked up. They are 6.5, 7?
Yeah, 6.5.
6.5 above the Cubs. Cubs just don't seem like the team. They kind of seem like a wild card team to me. The Brewers just seem to have it this year. I don't know what it is. I don't think that the Brewers are going to be a great team in the playoffs, but they could be. I don't know. But I could definitely see I see the Brewers winning that division. I think the Phillies will win the division in the Central or in the East. I think they'll probably be the number 2 seed as well, unless the Dodgers get hot. But here's where I definitely could see the Padres taking over the Dodgers. Like, I know I just said that the Dodgers could be the biggest threat in the postseason, in the stretch run, and the team that really takes a step forward. But the Padres could take over that division. They are only 2 games back? Yeah, 2.5. No. my thing's not loading.
Two and a half.
No, it's two games back. Two games back against the Dodgers. I could see it happening. Padres have had some pretty good pitching this year. Say the Dodgers just kind of don't have it all together. I could see that being a good race with it.
Only that they're not playing the Dodgers again.
I know, they aren't.
Like some of the scheduling decisions. I'm looking at this. They're not playing. They're playing Milwaukee, which I don't know. That could be a decent series. But they're playing Arizona end the year. It's like
it's because of they did with the American League and National League. They wanted to play every team, so you have to fit in all the teams from the other league, and then they're playing less division games. Yeah. So you're not seeing as many rival. It's the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
Ugh. But this is where it gets a little bit interesting. For the wild card, got the Cubs, Padres, and Mets. I definitely could see the Padres getting hot and taking over the Dodgers. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But it could. It definitely could. With the Cubs' schedule, I could see them faltering and getting... but I don't think they're going to do what they did 2 years ago and collapse and completely fall off. But I could definitely see them being like the 5 seed, not the 4 seed. And if the Mets falter and the Cincinnati gets hot, I could definitely see Cincinnati coming in and doing that. So if I were to predict what I think is going to happen and the Mets are going to Met, I think the Cubs will probably be the... it'll be the 4 seed would be the Padres. The Cubs would be the 5 seed. And then the Cincinnati Reds will get hot and be the 6 seed. And the Mets will fall out. That's what I could see. Because the Mets have had some pitching struggles this year, especially in the bullpen, even after, like, Helsley's been terrible since he's come over. They're starting pitching, other than the Phillies, has been... I know they just beat Detroit today, but I could definitely see Cincinnati getting hot and the Mets just faltering. Just because the Mets met. It's almost like it's just how it happens sometimes. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I know the Mets are a favorite punching bag of ours,
yes,
on this podcast, but I've watched the Mets a couple times this year, and I'm utterly unimpressed by them. Namely, the pitching is such a huge issue with that team, and I think it's an issue that I don't know if they're going to overcome that necessarily. I still think they're going to make the playoffs, honestly. I don't know if Cincinnati has the juice to make that push, like you say.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I could see. Let's see. There's San. You talked about San Diego being in there. This is why I wish they played the Dodgers and Padres played each other,
yeah,
at the end of the year, because I feel like that would really affect how I think this would go. Because with the way that they're both playing right now, San Diego would have a decent shot of taking the West.
Yeah.
Which I don't think too many people were saying this year, because everybody talks about how great the Dodgers are. Oh, they have Ohtani, they have Betts, they have Freeman, they have all these different guys, and they just have not... They're still a great team,
yeah,
but they just haven't gotten it together.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe they will once the postseason comes along, that we have to wait to see for that. This is another case of a league that doesn't impress me a whole lot this year. It's still better than the American League. But even teams like Milwaukee, I look at that team and I'm surprised that they're the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
Honestly. I don't want to take too much away from Milwaukee. They are a great team. But I don't know if it's just they're a great team or they're taking advantage of a not great,
yeah,
division and a not super hot, you know, crazy good league.
Yeah. The National League was a lot better at the beginning of the year, because, yeah, you had the Giants, Diamondbacks, and Cardinals, and Reds that were still in it and fighting. And then come like June, the Giants and Diamondbacks kind of just fell off, and the Cardinals kind of just like slowly faltered. But like the Giants and Diamondbacks kind of hit hard and fell off, and then they just traded away everyone, even after the Devers trade with it.
Yeah, the Giants were one of the worst teams in baseball after that trade.
Yeah, gosh. It's really, I think we need to focus more on the fact that there really isn't a lot of intense games in the division towards the end of the season.
Because of the schedule.
Yeah, right? The scheduling is just absolutely awful with, yeah, this. The Phillies should not be finishing their season against Minnesota. They shouldn't be.
And the Yankees shouldn't be finishing their series against the White Sox and the Twins. Yeah. Like, what is that?
It's not much watch TV. Like, the Phillies, if they really did it right, the Phillies should be going up against the Mets again last game of the season, or the Braves. Like, yeah. That's what we projected to be. Yeah. And then the Braves should have been going up against, you know, the Marlins or the Nationals. Like, it should be that. It should not be, like, it's how the NFL is. Like, the last week of the season is definitely a division game.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it's the last two, but it's definitely the last one where yes. It has to be a division game, which is important because it makes people watch, and it's those games matter.
Yes.
But the last series, if it's against Minnesota, and say if we have the division locked up, we can't move seeds anywhere. Like, it's three games that you just don't care, but it could affect other games. And that's where I'm like, it's dumb. It's dumb. So... yeah, those are our predictions for the postseason push, as we are calling it, postseason push. Not the postseason tush push, but postseason push, because this is a baseball podcast. Let us know what your predictions are. I know I've had some friends talk about the Phillies and the Mets recently, and just kind of how it should be. Those games should be more competitive. But let us know what you think, and. We'll talk about it next time, but we are going to finish out. I have a hot take. I don't know if we did one the last couple times. We didn't do it the last time. But I have a hot take. I don't know how hot it is, but it's a little bit warm. And I had mentioned this to you before we started. I had asked what if when Judge set the record, or did he tie the record for most home runs in the American League? And he broke it 2 years ago with 62.
Yes.
Okay. Kyle Raleigh has 50 home runs right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to predict that Kyle Raleigh is going to break that record in the month of September. You think the Mariners will get hot. He's going to get hot. He's going to get 60. He's either going to tie it or I think he'll break it. He'll have 63 home runs. And that will solidify him as the MVP. That's my hot take. I could definitely see it happening.
The only thing is his recent struggles, but if he gets hot again, it's very much a possibility.
Yeah, it's a hot take. It's not supposed to happen, but it could happen. Yeah. I could see it definitely happening. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's because I want him to win the MVP over Judge, even though I like Judge, but kind of want Raleigh to be rewarded for having a really, really good season on a team that's not really known for their offense, and he's playing a premium position. Like, if Judge was doing his numbers at catcher, it'd be wild. That'd be nuts.
I'm just trying to imagine a 6'7" man playing catcher.
It's like a goalie taking up the entire spot of the net. You're just like, wow, he is taking up a lot of space on that TV in the back. So you think it could happen?
Yeah. I think it could.
It's not the hottest of hot take.
He needs to get on a hot streak.
Yeah.
To do that. In the month of August, he had 8 home runs.
Okay.
And he hasn't had one since August 25th. Today is September 1st.
Yeah. So he cooled off a little bit. But, yeah. Do they face Colorado?
Seattle?
Yeah. In Colorado, by chance?
In Colorado. Yeah, they're playing them the rest of the year. Then you'll definitely have a shot. They are playing... no, unfortunately not. But they are playing. Oh, they are playing Colorado, in Colorado for three games.
When?
September 23rd through the 25th.
Ooh,
it's the second to last series of the year.
Calling three home runs that series. See, it's not as unrealistic as you think.
No.
All right. Let's end it there. Thank you for listening to our postseason push. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, anything, let us know. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter.
Well, not anything.
What?
Any questions?
Why?
Or just like anything. Not anything.
I mean, if someone wants to ask a question, they can ask a question.
Of anything?
Okay, fine. Baseball related. Not football related. No football talk.
No, you are ready. You're ready.
No football talk allowed.
No, you. No. You said anything.
No.
It's on tape.
Okay, fine. No, it's on tape.
Yeah.
It's on tape.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast, available on VHS coming this fall.
I'll show them. I'll record everything.
Yeah. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. See you next time.